Well, good morning. It's Jeff Wine, host of The Car Show here on Sun Sounds Radio. Folks, once again, we have an action-packed show for you today. We'll catch you up on the latest and greatest of the world of the automobile. We got a lot of motorsports to catch up on. We had NASCAR in Phoenix last weekend, so we'll give you some updates and some reviews as well as results for that race. We've got Formula One opening their season down in Australia, so I've got news for that. We've also got the Mecham Classic Car Auction coming up next week. Today also is the last day of the Good Guys Hot Rod Show out at Westworld. We'll catch you up a little bit on that. We've got some weird and unusual automotive news. Of course, we'll talk about gas prices, and of course, it wouldn't be the car show without a little car talk. You know what to do. Fasten those seatbelts nice and tight. It's going to be a fast ride on the car show. We've certainly had our fair share of weather this week. A lot of rain here in the metro area. But also, too, we've had some major storms up in the high country. And from the pages of AZ Family, the headline reads, Northern Arizona freeways reopen following deadly winter storms. Well, Northern Arizona highways are now open after winter storms pummeled parts of the high country this week, causing several deadly crashes. An update on Saturday, the Arizona Department of Transportation said both directions of Interstate 40 have reopened between Williams and Holbrook. Crews are continuing to repair the road after deadly crashes this week caused by the severe storms. Drivers still should expect reduced speeds near Williams. Now, in addition, State Route 87 southbound near Winslow and Interstate 17 northbound at State Route 179, which is the exit for Sedona, have all been reopened, and drivers should check AZ-511 for the latest road conditions. Now, on Friday, four people lost their lives after multiple vehicles collided on I-40 westbound at milepost 294 near Holbrook, and on Thursday, two people lost their lives in a fire crash on the same freeway southwest of Williams. Department of Public Safety troopers say that a semi-truck jackknifed and struck multiple vehicles, causing a chain reaction where drivers were re-ended or pushed underneath the semi-trucks. Devastating video showed the aftermath of the Thursday crashes, charred vehicles alongside of the road. 13 total vehicles and 5 semis were involved in that crash. So ADOT tells drivers, if you're caught in a winter storm while on the road, here's some things you need to remember to do. First, reduce your speeds. Brake and accelerate with extreme caution. Number two, leave extra space following between distances between vehicles. Number three, turn on your lights and turn off your cruise control. And number three, use chains if required. Now, the Yavapai County Sheriff's Office is also reminding you people to obey the road closures. Please do not ignore them. Deputies say a car with seven people inside got stuck attempting to bypass I-40 to get to Williams. This caused their vehicle to slide off the road near Jerome. Deputies rescued the group, who then were taken to the safety of a nearby hotel. In a separate incident, deputies say a driver from Texas got lost in the area as he was following his GPS. He was able to make it safely back onto the road. I want to say thank you to the folks at Search and Rescue Team that helps locate these stranded travelers, even in frigid temperatures in the middle of the night. Deputies are continuing to issue citations if drivers specifically ignored barriers and going into areas where the roads were closed. Yeah, on a personal note, my daughter and son-in-law were on their way up with my grandson to spend some time in the high country to enjoy the snow. And they got turned around on Friday up at, where were they at? That milepost, at Highway 179 going to Sedona. They were able to make it back on the road, get home, and then they went and returned up on Saturday once the roads had cleared. So it's always kind of a pain, but the reality is you do not want to get lost and stuck out in the snow in the Arizona winter. And just to remember, if you have any questions, go to AZ-511 for the latest information on weather and road conditions. Some good guys were in town this weekend out at Westworld, and just want to thank them for getting me some passes so I could go check out the event on Saturday. A little wet on Friday, but it was a beautiful day yesterday. Clouds cleared, and so many cool classic hot rods. More fun than should be legal hanging out there looking at some of these great cars. Today is the final day, so you can still make it out there. The event is going on until 3 o'clock. Now, if you don't happen to make it out this year, you can also, there'll be a fall event that will be coming up in November, and I'll have some more communication and information about that. But once again, the Good Guys event, really cool. I love the autocross where they have the cars set up to run around a huge parking lot through cones for times, and it's just an awful lot of fun. So if you get a chance, you can still get out to Westworld this afternoon. They're going on until 3 o'clock, but if not, they'll have their fall event, and that'll be coming up in November. Well, folks, as I mentioned before, March is just jam-packed with cool, fun stuff to do. We kicked it off with the Good Guys event that's this weekend. Next week, we have the Mecum auction going on out at Glendale, and this is the at State Farm Stadium, and that's going to start on the 18th of March. Estimated 2,000 vehicles will cross the auction block. Also going to bring back the Kids Adventure Zone to Glendale, which is going to be an automotive-focused, kid-friendly area with various activities. Last year, Mecum Glendale saw over $54 million in sales. 942 classic cars and collector vehicles were sold, headlined by a $1.8 million sale awarded to a 1967 Corvette L88 Coupe. The event drew consignors from 38 different states and bidders from all 50 U.S. states, as well as countries from around the world. This year, they've got some really cool cars. The one I'm really excited about is the 1969 Ford Mustang, which was a custom-built car for SEMA. And this pony car is titled The Real Thing, high-performance masterpiece built over 5 months by BS Industries. Under the hood is a 494 cubic inch Boss Can-Am aluminum block V8, one of 10 engines originally built by the Holman Moody program to power Mario Andretti's McLaren Can-Am racer. This engine delivers a staggering 777 horsepower, paired with a Tremec 556 transmission. Also, some other cool cars. How about a Ferrari, McLaren, Maserati? We got a 2023 Ferrari 812, a 2022 Ferrari 812 as well, and that's a GTS. The other one is a Competones. And then how about this? A 2016 McLaren 675T Spider. So if you want some more information, you can go to Mecum.com. And like I said, the event begins on the 18th, goes through the 22nd, and it will be a great time at State Farm Stadium out in Glendale. Well, in the triple play of big events here in March, and last but certainly not least, NHRA drag racing. We're talking cars that go well over 300 miles an hour in a quarter mile. We'll be coming back to Firebird Raceway, and that's down south, off of just north of Maricopa. And that's right off the freeway, and the event is going to be spectacular, starting on March 21st and running through March 23rd. NHRA drag racing. The event's tickets are definitely on sale right now. And if you want some more information about NHRA drag racing, you can go to NHRA event as well, or you can go to racefirebird.com. That's another great place to get information, and should be a fun time. Always love going out to the drag races, and if you've never been to an NHRA drag racing event, this is one to see down at Firebird Motorsports Park, Firebird Raceway. In our fair city last week, and the headline reads, Bell roars to third consecutive Cup Series win at Phoenix. Christopher Bell won again on last Sunday in the NASCAR Cup Series. He and his number 20 Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota made it three straight Cup victories after beating out teammate Denny Hamlin in a side-by-side finish. Hamlin was leading at the white flag, but the two drivers found themselves side-by-side coming off turn two, then a drag race toward the checkered flag as Bell powered around the bottom as Hamlin got too far wide in turn number four. Bell led Hamlin and Kyle Larson, who nearly joined the fight in the final corner to finish the Shriners Children's 500. It's the second consecutive win for Bell in the spring race at Phoenix and his third straight after triumphs at Atlanta Motor Speedway and the Circuit of the Americas. Bell is the only repeat winner so far this year in 2025, and he is the first driver in the next-gen era to win three consecutive races and the first since Kyle Larson did it in 2021. Quote, "Oh my gosh, man," Bell told Fox Sports on the front stretch. "When you're sitting here and you're dreaming it up, that's about as ugly as it gets. But you put the red tires on and you're like, all right, I don't know what's going to happen in 20 to 30 laps, but we got there." Well, it was interesting because neither of us could. We were really, really racing hard at the end. JGR runs number one and number two. And it was definitely a dominant day for Bell, who led a race-high 106 of 312 laps. He also won the second stage. Wow, Denny Hamlin, once again, so close to a win at Phoenix, but just not there. So Christopher Bell wins the race. Denny Hamlin finishes in second. Kyle Larson, third. Josh Berry has a nice run in fourth. Chris Buescher in fifth. William Byron in sixth, Alex Bowman in seventh, Kyle Busch in eighth, Zane Smith in ninth, and rounding out the top 10 was Chase Elliott. Follow-up news, for those who don't recall, Catherine Legg, who's run multiple different sports car races as well as several starts at the Indy 500, was making her NASCAR debut out at Phoenix last weekend. And the headline reads, Legg keen to silence doubters after disappointing NASCAR debut in Phoenix. Well, Catherine Legg still loves NASCAR racing, but it's not going to let the disappointment of her Cup Series debut to dissuade her from trying again. Legg had hoped to fly under the radar with Live Fast Motorsports last weekend at Phoenix Raceway. Her goal was to learn and finish the race. She learned a lot, but she failed to finish the race. Even worse, she became the topic of conversation when she spun with just 98 laps to go and collected Daniel Suarez, who was running sixth at the time. Quote, "It's been a lot, honestly," Legg told a racer after processing her debut over the past few days. "It's been some positives to reflect on, but there's also been some negatives too. There's been what the future holds and then what you're trying to do for the first time or you're trying to do a different series. You basically go analyze everything. So the good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent. And you get opinions from people that you respect and have input in your career moving forward. Then you dissect, analyze, and you do all of that as well. So it's been a process." Legg felt prepared as she could to drive the number 78 Chevrolet on 10 days' notice prior to the race. In a lead-up, she participated in some simulation time and drove the car during pit stop practice on the Hendrix Motorsports campus. If she were to be able to finish the race and complete all the laps, Legg and BJ and Jessica McLeod, the owners of Live Fast Motorsports, would have considered that a victory. Ultimately, Legg ran 210 of the 312 laps. She was credited finishing in 30th position, but wasn't afraid to admit on her podcast, Throttle Therapy, that she was embarrassed by what happened, despite it was a learning experience on her first try. Quote, "I take everything seriously, and I definitely took this seriously," Legg said. "My goal was to finish, and that didn't happen. I don't like achieving things I set out to achieve. I was embarrassed by the way it ended because I made a mistake, and nobody likes to make the mistakes. It was not my best work, let's say. Everyone does make mistakes, but it was definitely under a spotlight, and I'm trying to do my best not to make those kind of mistakes. I was giving everybody so much room and so much respect, trying to do everything right, but mistakes obviously got a lot of the negative attention." Now, since Sunday, the criticism has been directed at Legg. There's also been a broader conversation about the NASCAR system. In addition, how NASCAR approves drivers, also the reflection of how the sport is no longer having an open testing policy that used to allow teams to spend however much time they wanted testing their cars around the country. The weekend schedule at the track is quite condensed, with drivers practicing for less than 30 minutes. Phoenix did have an extended 45-minute session because there was an optional tire, but Legg was not on the track for the full 45 minutes. "Yeah, I was embarrassed because I didn't want to make a mistake," Legg continued. "I wanted to show everybody how competent I was and that I belonged. And I knew as soon as it happened that it would attract an awful lot of conversation. Because there's always a way you have to be in the spotlight when something's going on. People are very, very passionate about whether you're failing or you're succeeding. They have an opinion, and that's exactly what happened. Everyone has their dog, and they decided to get their opinion heard." Now, Legg admits that she wants everyone to like her. Naturally, she has tried to stay out of the comment section this week. But there was a moment, the first of her career, when Legg was signing autographs at Phoenix Raceway and a fan asked her, "So what lap are you going to crash on?" I wasn't surprised to learn that she had to earn their respect of the NASCAR fans. As far as respect within NASCAR and its drivers, Legg has spoken with McLeod and Colic Racing, who also helped her prepare for her debut. She also reached out to Daniel Suarez. "I've made a lot of phone calls," Legg said. "Daniel was very sweet. Actually, he was very kind and understanding. He was like, 'Listen, I don't blame you. Of course, what happened on the track was less than ideal for me,' which I said, 'Listen, it was not my intention. I know that doesn't make it any better, but I was trying to do my best to stay out of trouble, and actually it was just a mistake.' He said, 'I think this sentiment has been echoed across many platforms, and it's really not fair for new people going into the series not to be able to gain enough experience and just be thrown in the top level.' Well, I've been thrown in the top level of motorsports in many different disciplines. Normally, you have time to test or something, and these cars aren't particularly easy to drive. So I think that definitely puts a spotlight on the sport again. They say there's no such thing as bad press after this week. I might beg to differ." Yet Legg is open to doing more NASCAR races. She has been approved for road courses, short ovals. She also understands that they would like to see her do more Xfinity races as well. "I've had somebody from another team call me and say the part that this wasn't going to be easy, and I knew this wasn't going to be easy for me. And I said, 'Yep, I know, and I want to continue to do this. I'm going to dig my heels in and go for it. I just want to prove everyone wrong because I know I'm a good race car driver, and this was just a blip in the matrix.'" And I would agree. Catherine Legg is a very good race car driver. I've seen her race at Indianapolis several times. And I think the problem is that with these new rules in NASCAR, new drivers don't get a chance to go out and test and get experience in these cars and get some seat time. So we'll see if NASCAR ends up changing some of their rules because of this situation. The first Formula One race of 2025 is in the books, and the headline reads, "Norris survives late scare to secure a remarkable Australian Grand Prix win." Well, Lando Norris opened the 2025 title campaign with a high-pressure victory ahead of the reigning series champion Max Verstappen on an unpredictable rain-soaked afternoon in Australia. The pole sitter survived a battle with his teammate Oscar Piastri and a trip through the gravel on turn 12 to lead the field on a third safety car restart in an afternoon ahead of Verstappen with five laps to go to set up a high-stakes sprint for a victory. The Dutchman got himself within a second of the leader in the final three laps, but the McLaren man refused to break, holding him off by almost 1 second. Quote, "It was an amazingly tough race, especially with Max behind me. The last two laps were a little bit stressful, I'm not going to lie, but it was an amazing way to start the year. To McLaren, to give them a big thanks, it was an amazing car." So the race was late last night, and I recorded it and watched it first thing this morning. And the thing I was amazed about was all the crashes that were there. We had two cars crash on the warm-up lap and two cars crash on the opening lap. So it was crazy, rainy, rain tires, intermediate tires started drying off, and some cars actually went out and put on the slick tires. Now also, too, don't forget that this is the first race for Lewis Hamilton as a Ferrari driver. At one point in time, he was leading the race, but that was during a pit stop strategy where they stayed out on slick tires. Then the rain came, so he had to come in and get the intermediate rain tires. But Lewis Hamilton did end up finishing in the points, finishing in 10th position. Oscar, who is the other teammate for Lando Norris, crashed and got stuck in the rain, was able to come back, put new tires on, and finish in the 9th position. So a very, very interesting race. And Andre Kimi Antonelli, who is the new driver at Mercedes, who replaced Lewis Hamilton there, ended up finishing in 4th position, and George Russell finished in 3rd. So we had McLaren, Red Bull, Mercedes in the top 4. So exciting times, and I was just amazed with this crazy weather, but Formula One back on the map again for this season, and Lando Norris from McLaren takes the win. NASCAR is up in Vegas this weekend, and the headline reads, Michael McDowell grabs Spire's first Cup Series pole in Vegas. Well, Michael McDowell earned Spire Motorsports its first NASCAR Cup Pole Series win on Saturday at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. McDowell was the fastest in qualifying with a lap of 186.961. That's his seventh career pole and his first at Vegas. All of Michael McDowell's poles have come since the start of the 2024 season. I'm just so proud of all the men and women at Spire Motorsports, McDowell told Prime Motorsports. We've had three cars in the top 10 last week, and then it comes to a mile and a half, and we have so much speed, and to sit on the pole is a testament to the hard work that everybody here at Spire puts in. So that's so exciting. Michael McDowell from Glendale, Arizona, is sitting on the pole at today's running of the NASCAR, the Pennzoil 400 up at NASCAR Las Vegas Motor Speedway for the NASCAR Cup Series. Joey Logano will start on the front row with him. And if you're interested in catching this race, that will be on in about an hour, and that's going to be on Fox Sports 1. That will be the NASCAR race from Las Vegas. Well, time for a little weird and unusual automotive news, and the headline reads, Trucker dumps 2,000 gallons of fuel onto the road to avoid driving to a nearby transfer station. Well, a truck driver was arrested in Moundsville, Alabama, for intentionally dumping 2,000 gallons of jet fuel onto the roadway. According to WBRC 6 News, police say that the truck spilled fuel across 5 miles, including on a bridge over a creek. A hazmat team was required to clean up the mess. Thankfully, the public danger was averted. Before dumping the fuel, the driver, 58-year-old Alfonso Terry Jr., was trying to fill his tanker at a local gas depot but was turned away. He was told he needed to discharge the existing fuel as the depot can't mix fuel. But instead of driving to the nearest discharge station in Mississippi, about 90 miles away, Terry decided to save himself some time and dump the fuel on the roadway by the releasing valves and bypassing safety mechanisms. Since the fuel continued to spill as the truck crossed the bridge over the creek, there was a worry that it could contaminate the waterways, causing a health risk. Thankfully, the hazmat team prevented that from getting in the waterway. The Tuscaloosa Fire and Hazmat team responded immediately. They came down and prevented it from getting in the water like the creeks, so none of this fuel was entering the waterways. That's according to the emergency management director. Boy, what a bad situation this is. It's unclear how this mess was clean. The hazmat team could have used fire hoses to wash the fuel down storm drains or absorbent material to soak it up. Terry was arrested on the spot for 5 counts of spillage, 1 count of criminal mischief. Other charges could be coming. It's not sure how Terry thought he'd get away with this. Watching thousands of gallons of fuel continuously spill out of the back of a tanker truck isn't exactly something you see every day. So people are bound to notice. Another truck driver saw the fuel leaking from his truck, Terry's truck, and called the police. Locals who live along the roads where Terry dumped the fuel have been told to contact the Moundsville police and file a report if they find any hazardous spillage material on their property, and also reminded people to be cautious around the edges of their property because the fuel could still be flammable. Well, let's talk some gas prices with our friends at AAA. Right now, the average gas price in the United States is $3.07 a gallon. Here in Arizona, it's $3.34. New Mexico, $2.84. Colorado, $2.94. Utah, $3.03. California, $4.65. All right, let's see what's going on with our local gas prices here in Metro Phoenix. In the state, the Fry's station at Marana is $2.57. The Love's Travel Stop in Eloy, $2.62. And the Chevron station in Eloy is at $2.62 as well. Here in Metro Phoenix, Sam's Club on Bell Road at $2.84. The Costco on West McDowell Road in Avondale at $2.84. The Love's Travel Stop in Chandler at $2.99. Circle K on Honeycutt Road in Maricopa at $2.99. And that's the least expensive gas here in the Metro. Well, it's time for a little car talk. When faced with a pricey estimate on your vehicle, let's consider some experimentation. Dear Car Talk, I have a 2003 Chevy Trailblazer 4.2 liter. The front differential is shot, and I bought it not knowing that. talked to several shops around my area, and it's going to be around $5,000 to replace this, and that's if they can find me one. My question, can I just remove the front CV axles and drive it? I know I won't have four-wheel drive, but I can live with that, so let me know. Thanks. And that's from Travis. Well, I have good news for you, Travis. I think this is a perfect vehicle to find out if this will work. It's time for an experiment, and I think you can turn your Trailblazer into a rear-wheel drive vehicle only. And as you say, you have to do that by starting to remove both the front axles. Now, that'll prevent the front wheels from turning the differential gears that are in the car when it's moving. And I don't remember if these axles are connected to the front differential, how they're connected to the front differential on this truck. Sometimes there's a flange. Sometimes they go right into the differential itself. But if your axles go into the differential, then you'll have to remove the axles. The differential oil will leak out, but who cares? You're not going to be using it anyway, and it's already shot. So it's just a matter of draining the oil and disposing of it properly. Once the front wheels are free of the axles, they can turn freely and independently, and they'll have no need for a differential. So steering and turning won't be affected. Next, you could try removing the front drive shaft. Now, that'll prevent the transfer case from turning the front differential gears if, by chance, or someone else accidentally puts the vehicle into four-wheel drive. And you can do that without making the transfer case leak. I'd do that too. If not, just leave the transfer case in two-wheel drive so the front drive shaft never turns. At that point, you'll have a rear-wheel drive vehicle only. And just in case you're carrying the... So you know, you'll be carrying the differential around with you as if it was your favorite bowling ball. Now, just so you know, this stuff is probably beyond the scope of your average do-it-yourselfer. So I'd have a shop professionally do this for you and test it out. And it's not a big job, but it does require some tools that you probably don't have in your own personal toolbox. So here's the big thing. Make sure you save the parts just in case the experiment, doesn't go exactly the way you think it does and you have a fail. I don't think it will, though. But even if it does, you'll be no worse off than you are now, except out a little bit of money, still needing a new front differential, or maybe a new car. Yeah, I think that's great advice. And just so you know, I have never done anything like that with any of my vehicles, trying to convert a vehicle that is designed to be four-wheel drive into a two-wheel drive vehicle only. But I think in this situation, and according to the guys at Car Talk, this thing ought to work. But this is definitely something that someone would not want to try to do on their own unless they're a super, super experienced mechanic and have the proper tools. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for the car show today. My name is Jeff Wine. We'll meet you back again on the radio next Sunday, and you're listening to Sun Sounds Radio of Arizona.